read this. Okay, let's stand as we read the scripture tonight, please. And we'll go to Acts chapter 2. And we'll read responsively verses 41 through 47. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had things in had all things in common. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them unto all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the rejoicing that there is in the heart, Lord, when we find a place where we can come and worship you, where we can be, Lord, a fellowship, a church. Thank you for this body of Christ here in Carver, Massachusetts tonight. Thank you for our preacher. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you be with him as he breaks forth the word to us tonight. Oh, Lord, help us to tonight leave everything that's pending and focus solely on your word tonight. Challenge us tonight. Help us to grow tonight. We love you, Lord. We want to be challenged. We want to be motivated. Lord, we want you to do the work in us through your Holy Spirit and through the preaching of the Word of God. And we pray that you would do so now. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm probably going to be a little light, maybe more of a chat with you this evening more than anything else. Some of you might think that's good. I mean, if you saw the pages of my notes tonight compared to this morning, you'd be glorifying, praising God, because there's only very few pages tonight. But you don't have to amen very loud with that, amen? But, you know, I just got reflecting. Of course, we talked a little bit about it in our testimony time, but I've been reflecting on the past year. You know, as I said earlier and throughout the day several different times, it's my privilege to pastor this great church. I got thinking a little bit of how the ball got rolling back in mid-October of 07. Seems like it was a long time ago, but that's when I got the packet in the mail. The ball kind of started rolling for us to move to Carver. I didn't know it until that day I got the mail. And I know in my heart that the Holy Spirit did something. I remember going down to the mailbox, getting all the mail and this big old envelope and so forth. And I touched that thing, I looked at it, and I know once I saw it, once I saw where it was from, I knew what it was, I knew the Holy Spirit said, this is it. And, you know, and I was in denial at that time. I said, well, we'll see about that. And I'll admit that. We'll see about that. You know, I'll admit. And I'm testifying, just being a little personal tonight, and we'll kind of get through this here. But you know, we just came off from cancer, my wife having cancer and so forth. And, you know, I thought, you know, I'm comfortable, Lord, right here. And I was. You know, I was serving God, and I know I've testified this before, but I was serving God and full-time at an independent Bible-believing Baptist church, working for a great man. Got to serve great teenagers, got to be an assistant pastor in a great church, and all kinds of different things. But I remember getting that packet in the mail, and that same day, mid-October, you know, I went home for lunch and so forth and got ready because there was a bus trip to take that afternoon from the church. And, you know, I didn't get back to the church. It's the same day now. You know, I just threw the packet on the table, look it over later. And, you know, our church secretary came out as I was going around back to get the bus and said, Pastor Weeks, some guy by the name of Joe LaRosa called. I said, really? He's from Carver, Massachusetts. I go, really? You know, and so you know, and the Holy Spirit just started really, really working. I said, man, can't these guys just leave me alone? You know? And I'll admit it. And I'm bearing my heart. But, you know, it was just so odd. A couple of days, it had to take a day or two for it to get from here to there. And it's just funny. That same day, that same time frame, within an hour, he called the church office. And, you know, after a little bit of ignoring the calls, he got my cell phone number somehow and everything. I'll admit. For a short time, though, but he was so persistent. Your husband, Ms. Michelle, very persistent when it came to this. And finally talking to him, you know, I finally picked up the phone. And I'll admit, I told my preacher what was going on. And he said, so have you talked to him? I said, well, yeah, they're trying to call me. And then he goes, so what do you say? I said, well, I haven't answered my calls yet. And he goes, don't you think you ought to go ahead and answer the calls? I said, well, yeah. You know, but it was just a very bittersweet time. And I knew it was of the Holy Spirit, everything, this was it. But I just, it was very bittersweet. So, you know, finally taking the calls and, of course, talking to the pulpit committee and Senate setting up a time. But we had a long, I know, a Monday night conversation with the pulpit committee and going through question and answers and different things. And they still hired me even after that, you know, found out where I was and who I am. But setting up a time to come candidate, and believe it was December 9th, came down to candidate. That was December 9th of 07. And candidating in December, and then that next Wednesday night, you all voted me and called me as pastor. Then, of course, I accepted the call, and I'm reflecting a little bit. I'm gonna get to the bulk of the gist of the message in just a moment. And I know tonight I made the right decision. There's no doubt in my mind. I know that God has, and He's gonna do many more great things here at Faith Baptist Church. I'm convinced of it. And I want to say this in by way of introduction as well, that I appreciate a church taking us in. You didn't know me well. I didn't know you well, obviously, and we got to know each other. We've grown to love one another, and you followed the vision of your pastor, which is biblical, and I want to say thank you for that. God has done so many great things. I've heard the stories, you know, out visiting and so forth. Yeah, you're from the church, and people doubted whether this church would ever survive through some of the years. People doubted it, you know. Some of you have just told me stories as well of the years of the ups and downs and so forth, and having the different pastors in and out and so forth. And, you know, and by the way, as far as I'm concerned, I'm the last pastor, and we're not going to go ahead and close up shop, okay? You know, by the way, you know, and this is a comment later on down in my message, but, you know, Jesus purchased the church with his blood, and as far as I'm concerned, He's the one that decides whether He closes up shop or not. It's not going to be man that's going to close up shop. We're going to keep on going on for Jesus. And we're not going to go ahead and get concerned about any negative comments or whatever. You know, and you all know, probably some of you have been around a while, you heard, yeah, I don't know if they're going to go ahead and make it. Hey, guess what? We're making it. You know, we're still alive. We're still going at it. We're still running buses. We're starting more Sunday school classes. We're doing, we're just seeing a lot more things going on. And every time I hear a negative comment, I always am reminded of Matthew 16:18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. As long as Christ is always at the helm, as long as He's always in the forefront, there's not going to be a negative comment. There's not going to be anything that shuts the work of Christ down. He purchased this work with His blood. He decides whether it ceases or not. And as far as I'm concerned, it will cease when we get raptured to heaven. That's when it's going to go ahead and end. And until then, as long as we have breath to breathe, as long as we got a little bit of strength in our legs and a strength in our arms, and we can go ahead and speak, let's keep on proclaiming Jesus. Let's keep on knocking on doors. Let's keep on starting more bus routes. Let's keep on keeping on for Jesus, and let's not turn back. Let the critics speak. Let the people talk. But upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not go ahead and prevail against it. We'll go ahead and face the struggles, and we'll face opposition. And yes, we've all gone ahead already this year. We face some struggles and opposition. And all through the years, those of you who've been so faithful and you stuck it out, you've seen the opposition. You've seen the struggles. But guess what? We're still here. We're still planted. And we're not going to go ahead and let the gates of hell win tonight. We're just going to keep on going until Jesus comes. We're not going to cut back. We're not going to go ahead and let up. You know, I'm reflecting back on this year, and boy, the things that we've experienced here, boy, we've experienced His grace, haven't we? Boy, we've experienced His grace. We've seen souls saved, not as many as we'd like. I don't think any church ever sees enough souls saved. We've not seen as many as we'd like, but we've seen souls saved. We've seen precious souls of children getting saved and teenagers and adults saved this year. We've seen people baptized, not as many again as we should or could, but we've seen the fulfilling of the Great Commission, and we're going to see more of that this year, I guarantee you. We've experienced growth. We've seen our church grow. And by the way, when we had the surge of growth and so forth, I was a bit taken back. I was a bit surprised, you know, and people say, why were you surprised that you were going to grow? I just didn't know what to think, you know. And, you know, the more people, the more responsibility and so forth. But we've experienced growth. We've had new members been added. We started with 6 Sunday school classes back a year ago. Now we've got 11 with more on horizon. We've made improvements here and there with the building. We started a youth group, and we've started a youth choir, which the teenagers just love. Amen. But we've started a youth choir, and they'll be singing up here before they know it. Whether they like it or not, they're going to go ahead and sing. You know, people ask, why do you go ahead and have all this music program? You know what? Because we need to go ahead and replace good music with bad music. That's why. You know what? There's a whole bunch of bad music out there, and I just happen to believe the more that we keep the good music in the church, and the more that we get the young people singing good music, you know what? They won't be so likely to go ahead and go to the world's music. Amen? But we're just going to go ahead and get the youth choir going. We started an adult choir, and I just praise the Lord for that. We've had more out soul winning since when we arrived in February. We've had an average of 20 people out soul winning. Glory to God. God gets all the glory for that. God has given us laborers to get more done. We've been implemented more church praying time, Saturday morning once a month at least right now. We have a praying time. Boy, you ought to come to that. And we have Wednesday nights. You've seen the format. We're praying together as a church family. Boy, God has been good. I look forward to all that He has planned this year. I look forward to the things that we got going on. We got missions conference this year. Of course, we've got our theme. 2009, the year of the harvest, and we're just going to go ahead and keep on going after lost souls this year. We're going to have a missions conference. We're going to have a few special speakers in here that I think will be a treat to you, an encouragement to us. We're going to have some good music tour groups in here. I'm looking forward to the youth conference trip and seeing God work in your teenagers' lives. I'm talking about the Faith Baptist Church teens' lives. We've experienced growth. We've experienced so much greatness of God's greatness this year. You know, we've experienced glory. It's been good and great, if you will, to see God moving in our midst. I'm talking about right here in this auditorium. Time after time, you know, as a preacher, and you just get up and you preach what God lays on your heart, and you know the power of God is working in each life and so forth, and you see the altar calls, and you see teenagers coming forward, and you see mamas and daddies coming forward, you see children coming forward, you see families praying together, you see some laughing, and you see some crying, and you see the influence of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, you see we've seen some lifelong decisions made. You know what? We've got some young men here that have been called to preach this year. Amen. Giving God all the glory. It encourages my heart to see teens praying at the altar. It encourages my heart to see teens praying on a Tuesday night. It encourages my heart to see families praying together. It encourages my heart to see men praying together and ladies praying together. And we've experienced so much goodness and greatness and glory here at the Faith Baptist Church. And by the way, God gets all the glory. Amen. We've experienced giving. God has continued to bless our offerings, and your faithfulness is so evident. You know, and by the way, money's not the main thing here, but you know what? We need money to function. You know, if we didn't go ahead and have your faithful giving, you know, it'd be pretty hard to preach in the dark tonight. Amen? If we didn't go ahead and have your faithfulness in giving, it'd be a little bit chilly if we didn't have the heat on tonight. You ever come in through here during the weekday when nothing's going on? Man, it's colder than as my dad used to say, it's colder than the barn. Amen. You know, he's from up north a little bit more, but it's cold in here. But boy, we've experienced much through your faithful giving. Boy, your financial giving has helped keep them buses rolling. Amen. Now, I love the bus ministry. Well, I've been a part of the bus ministry for years, and it's nice. You know, I love seeing the smiles on these little boys and girls' faces every week. I love the fact that we get to go ahead and serve these inner city, if you will, boys and girls. And boy, what a blessing it is. And your financial giving helps keep the buses rolling and picking up boys and girls and seeing them come and get saved. You know, you just never know. You just never know what D.L. Moody might be on that bus that comes here. You just never know what Jack Hiles or your pastor or many different things. You just never know who might be on that bus that we're supporting and rolling every week. We support foreign missionaries, and we've taken on another missionary this year because of Faith Promise. Boy, many have sacrificed in love offerings. Today, we took a love offering. The church knows this on a Wednesday evening a couple weeks ago. And there was a family in our church that was ailing a little bit, and that's why we take up love offerings. And we tell you something, being able to give them what you gave, boy, what a smile on their face it was. It was kind of a relief. You know, we've taken up love offerings this year. I'm talking about people in our church and putting a smile of people in our church who had a little bit of a need. Praise the Lord. Boy, we've had a wonderful year, church. We've had many wonderful experiences this year. But you know, there's some essentials that we need for the year to come. What is it that we need to improve in the days ahead? We're going to look at our text here. Number one, we need to continue in our love and compassion for one another. You know, let me read verses 44 and 45 of Acts chapter 2. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them all to all men as every man had need. It was showing their love that we need to continue in love and have compassion for one another. You know, this day here, Acts chapter 2, is a great day of Pentecost. You know, and let me just refer to a thought that I have preached before. But Acts chapter 2, you know, of course, the thousands gathered and so forth, and many different languages and so forth. And boy, how the Holy Spirit came down and thousands got saved and lives were changed. Verse number 1 of Acts chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place with one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house that they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, one thing I wanted to go ahead and note here, I said, you know what, for us to go ahead, and there's some essentials we need for the year to come, we need to continue in our love and compassion for one another. That means we need to have a good spirit in the church. Always have a good spirit. You know, the Bible says they were all in one accord, in one place. They were in agreement with one another. Before the Holy Spirit could go ahead and do anything here on the day of Pentecost, you know what? They had to be in one accord. There couldn't be chaos and so forth. You know why? Because God's not the author of confusion. But after the dust settled and after everybody was in one accord, in one place, boy, you go ahead and you read 2, 3, and 4, the Holy Ghost went to town. And let me tell you something. You know what? If we're going to continue to have the same kind of spirit here, if we're going to go ahead and continue to get God's work done, you know, we got to have love one for another. We've got to have compassion upon one another. And we've got to have a good spirit. You know, you want to come with a critical spirit? Let me just ask you a question. You're welcome, but leave your critical spirit at the door and come on in. You know, we don't need to be bashing one another. We don't need to be about yapping about one another. Hey, we need to go ahead and be in one accord so that we can go ahead and get the job done. We don't need to be bashing one another. We don't need to be headbanging one another. Hey, we need to go ahead and be loving one another. We need to always have a good spirit. And you know, and I've said it time and time again, but you know what? We ought to be very careful being clicky. You know, and I've said, I don't like cliques. That's where people gang up and so forth, and they think that they're better than everybody else. Let me tell you something. I'll keep squashing that thing like a bug. None of the teenagers, you shouldn't get so high on one another that you're so wonderful, and you go ahead and you push other people aside. There shouldn't be a group in here that's any better than anybody else. Hey, let me tell you something. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. You know what? And by the way, we shouldn't get so high and mighty that we're better than somebody. Hey, we just need to love everybody here on an even keel. Amen? That's just where I stand. We're not going to go ahead and gang up on somebody. We need essentials for this year. We better continue to love one another. Let me just say this. I see it here at this church. We do. You know, I don't have to talk about this a lot, though I do. And maybe that's one reason why we don't have some of the little gangs in their corners after church and different things, simply because I do hit it. But the truth of the matter is, you know, if we're going to have a good spirit, we've got to be in one accord. If God's going to go ahead and continue to bless this church, you know, there can't be a bunch of this. It just cannot happen. Hey, you know what? We talk about You know, we need to continue in our love and compassion one for another. One thing that is lacking in our society is love in action. One thing that can often happen in our lack in our churches is love in action. We talk about caring one for another, but we need to put feet to our talk. We need to go ahead and put hands and heart to our talk. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I'll get there. I didn't mark it earlier. Okay, here we go. I'm there. Believe it or not. One more page. There we go. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1 and 2. Brethren, if any man, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know what? That's the ministry right there in a nutshell. Instead of us sitting there and being critical of one another and talking bad about one another and instead of pointing the finger at a brother that may have fallen, why don't we go ahead and take the high road? Why don't we be Christ-like? And why don't we go ahead and lift them up and go ahead and bear their burdens? You know, it might be, you know, oftentimes we get so critical. Well, you know, I wonder why so-and-so fell. I wonder why so-and-so did this. And why they seem to have a little cloud over their head. Number one, who are we to go ahead and judge whether they have a cloud over their head? Number one. Number two, you know, if you know that someone's hurting in the church, why don't we do as the Bible says, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, okay, restore such a one. You know what? We need to be in the ministry of restoring one another. We need to be in the ministry of restoration. By the way, that's what Jesus did on the cross. Had Jesus not gone onto the cross, you know what? We'd be dying, going to hell tonight. But you know what? He restoreth my soul. Hey, you know what? He came into my heart, and I'm restored. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't have to worry about hell tonight. Hey, you know what? We got to get in the ministry of loving one another. We got to be in the ministry of restoring one another. Hey, if there's someone down in the church, hey, let's do our part of lifting them up. Let's do our part of bearing one another's burdens. Let's do our part of restoring them. Don't you knock them down. Seems like, boy, you know, it seems like when they're knocked down, Brother Robles, we just want to go ahead and kick them even more. And we, you know what? That's not how we ought to be. That's not being Christ-like. You know, Christian means Christ-like. We talked about it this morning in our message. You know, godliness. Boy, we ought to have a form of godliness about us. We ought to have, we ought to be godlike to those who may not know any better. Instead of going ahead and casting them out into outer darkness and so forth, hey, we need to be restoring one another. You know what? You know, if you would take a moment and get to know people in our church, if you look people in the eye, you know what? You can pretty much tell whether they're hurting or not. You can. I'm not in every, but you can pretty much tell. You know, and that's without them going ahead and saying, well, you know, hey, how you doing? Well, no, everything. You know, that, and they may be taking the high road, and they may be saying, you know what, things are going great. But you know, after you get to know people, after a little while, the Holy Spirit will go ahead and nudge you and say, you know what? You can feel a need for that person. You know, there's some things in that person's life. You know, maybe it's a little financial burden. And you know what? You know what? You know, take a $10 bill and have one of them money handshakes and so forth. You know, that's an encouragement. That's restoring someone who's been hurt. You know, I mentioned it this morning, but when someone's hurting and you know someone's hurting, why don't you go up to them and say, hey, you know what, brother, sister, I just want you to know, I love you. I've been praying for you. You know what? That goes a long ways in the life of another Christian. Hey, you know what? We need to go ahead and be a need filler. You know, if you say you're going to go ahead and pray for somebody, do it. Amen. I'm praying for you. You know, but do you? Do you? You know, do they know that you actually did? I mean, if you actually go to somebody and you know they're hurting and you say, hey, brother, hey, sister, I'm praying for you. Do you pray for them? You know, it's not a bad idea if you can, at such a time, pray with them right there. But if you don't, you ought to get somewhere afterwards. And don't you forget to pray for them. You know, we ought to be a need filler. You know, we need to continue in love, in our love and compassion one for another. We need to be a burden bearer, as the Bible says. You know, we need to have another thing we need to be looking for this year. We need to have more concern for lost souls. In verse number 47, you know, this church here, this early church, you know what? All the things I'm talking about tonight, they did. They had a burden for lost souls. Here, we need a concern for lost souls. Verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, that tells me they were a soul winning church. That tells me that they just weren't going to sit back and say, well, you know, the people are going to come in. No, we got to go get them. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They were a soul winning church. You know what? We ought to be duplicating what we learned here in the book of Acts. Our church needs to be a book of Acts type of church. Right here is a model of how we ought to be. Okay? And they were praising God. And you know what? You get out soul winning. You get out knocking on doors. You get out planting some seeds. You know, just the fact that maybe you went out soul winning on a Saturday and maybe you didn't see somebody saved, but the very fact that you have obeyed God. You know what? I come back on a Saturday just glad. You know, I obeyed God. I obeyed the Great Commission. But you know what's even more better? You know, and I can go ahead and preach like this, amen. But you know what's even more better? You know what's even best is when you do go out and you're faithful and you knock on a door and you lead somebody to Christ, you come back with a little spring in yourself because you had a part in snatching somebody from hell. You know why they were praising God? Because they kept on adding to the church. They were not door knocking. They were adding to the church daily, such as should be saved. Hey, that's the kind of church we ought to be. We need to be more concerned for the lost. Hey, where would you be had not someone been concerned for you? You know, that'd be a motivator right there for us to go out soul winning if we would go ahead and look at where we would be had no one shown up on our door or taken you to church or whatever. That's a motivator. That ought to be a motivator. You know, where would you be had someone not showed up on your door? You know, we need more concern for the lost. Early church was concerned about souls. They added to the church daily. They were soul winning. I love the fellowship, but the church is much more than fellowship. It's the work of the ministry. You know, it's the work of the ministry. That's reaching people for the cause of Christ. There's a lost and dying world going around, dying all around us. There are lost family members. There's probably a lost co-worker. What are you doing to try to reach them? What are you trying to do to reach your neighbor? What are you trying to do to reach people for the cause of Christ? Remember your position before you are saved. Take the soul-winning opportunities that's handed to you at Faith Baptist Church. Take the opportunities to reach out to your class if you've got a Sunday school class. Take the opportunities to reach out on your bus route. Take the opportunities of a Saturday morning soul-winning. Take the opportunity with the Tuesday teenagers. I'm not a teenager. Well, bless God, go with the teenagers. Amen. It's okay. You know, that's okay. You can show up and go with the teenagers. We could use more workers. Take other times. You say, well, I can't go on that time. I can't go on that time. You let me know, and I can go ahead and book you, and we'll go soul winning. Amen. You know what? There's no reason why we don't have to go soul. You know, we can go soul winning tonight, and we can go ahead and be a part of it. And don't go ahead and let your fear. Don't let you go ahead and let your desires or whatever keep you from soul winning. Hey, you know what? It's a command. You know, it is a command of God. You know, Dr. Curtis Hudson used to say, the only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to Christ. You know, we need more conviction in the house of God. We must not let up on this book right here. We must not let up on the preaching that shaped this nation. And by the way, it was preaching that shaped this nation. It was a preaching of the Word of God that shaped this nation. And when they went ahead and they made out them documents of our great documents, the Constitution, I believe this book right here was right close by. I believe very much it was principled right by this book. But we must not let up. The moment we let up and so forth and soul winning and so forth, that's the moment the Holy Spirit's going to go ahead and let up on us. And He'll go find somebody else who's doing the job. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want to be always open to the Spirit of God to go ahead and do great things with us. Hey, we must not let up. If you're going to go ahead if we're going to go ahead and I got a typo there, so we're just going to go ahead and move on anyway. So you know what? We need to. Man, that was a bad typo. The moment we let up is the moment that the Holy Spirit lets up. You know, I realize and I understand that conviction's a work of God. I do understand that. But we can hinder the work of God if we're not careful. We can create an atmosphere. You know how we hinder the work of God is by us creating an atmosphere in which the Lord will have a hard time to work. And by the way, that atmosphere can be prevalent if we don't go ahead, if we're not careful. If we're going to go ahead and have God do his perfect work and encourage people to love and make right decisions, then we must, number one, we got to create a good atmosphere in the church. You know, in verses 41 and 42, there's a great atmosphere, of course, in this early church. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. You know what? You know what? There was a good atmosphere at this church. There was no bad spirit here in the book of Acts, in this church here. They continued doing what was taught them. They didn't go ahead and quit. They continued steadfastly. They didn't turn back. There was nothing wrong. You know, let me say, there's nothing wrong with talking before the service and so forth. But you know what? When it's church time, we ought to be ready. You know, when the music starts playing, we ought to go ahead and be ready. We ought to be in our place, setting our heart and setting a right atmosphere and be an example to the kids. You know what? You know, maybe one reason why we have to go ahead and shoo the kids in here for church time, simply because we're over in the corner still talking and we've already got the first prayers of the song going on. Hey, you know what? We need to go ahead and when the music starts, we ought to be in our place, be all ready. Hey, let me say this. You know what? You ought to be praying before you come to church. You ought to be praying, God, you do something in the service today. You know, you ought to be praying and asking God, you do something in my heart today. I don't want to leave the same way that I came. You know what? But when the music starts, you be ready. You know, you keep the children quiet so that others can hear. You ought to, we do a total injustice by letting our kids do whatever they want in the service. I know this one's going to be very quiet, but it's true. It's no wonder, listen to me, and it's no wonder why they don't want to go ahead and listen when they become teenagers. Because we're not teaching them now. You know, and it's no wonder that the preacher has to do somersaults and jumping jacks and everything else. You have to keep moving. I'm not against that and so forth, but the truth of it, no wonder why we have to go back and forth, simply because we are not teaching our kids to sit up and listen. You know what? Kids today, you know what? They need something always moving. It's getting quiet. I guess we better keep moving forward here. So, you know what? But we need to keep our children. You know, parent, you be a good example to your child in how they should sit up and listen in church. You ought to make your children sit and listen in the service. It'll prepare them for later. Don't let you not paying attention and whispering in the church service keep somebody from hearing the word of God. Boy, you know, I'm afraid that there may be some people that came to a church, they were lost. And I've heard of instances like this. Some people that came lost, they never heard the gospel before, but because of a church member or whatever behind them or around them, they were all whispering and talking during the service. It made it very hard for that person to go ahead and hear the precious word of God. And all the while, you know what they wanted to hear. And let me tell you something. You say, that doesn't happen. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, I know for a fact that it happens, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? You know, when it's preaching time, when it's service time, you know, that's why we do some of the things. That's why I have you read the scripture. I want you to be involved. That's why we sing. You know, it's good. It's a good idea when it's time for singing, open up your songbook and be a part. There's plenty of songbooks out there. Just open up a songbook and just start singing. You say, well, I can't sing. Well, just rare away anyways. Just go ahead and go for it. You know, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know what? But be involved in the service, and you be a good example to your kids. And when it's preaching time, quit your whispering, quit your talking, sit up and listen. And don't you, if not for you, for somebody around you who wants to hear the word of God. It'd be a shame for our foolish behavior to keep one from hearing God's word for them to grow. Boy, it'd be a shame. You know what? Them precious souls who probably would have or could have got saved because we chose to yap, yap, yap during the church service when the preaching is going on, you know what? The blood will be on somebody's hands. It'll be on somebody's hands. But we need to have a right atmosphere. I think all of this will create a right atmosphere. You know, we ought to have an atmosphere where our visitors are loved. You know, I said it this morning, you know what? I think it's a good thing if a visitor leaves tired from Faith Baptist Church. He said, what do you mean by that? And I'm saying, you know what? I'm talking about every member of the church going up to that visitor and saying, man, I'm glad that you're here. You know what? That makes a visitor feel loved. I'm not saying putting on a show. Well, you know, the preacher, you know, kind of a robot. Glad that you're here. No. I'm talking about from the heart. You say, how'd that go again? I'll do. Glad that you're here. No, you know what? Brother. Anything you need. But you know, that's what I'm talking about, sincere from the heart. Amen. You know what? We need to create a right atmosphere. We need to create a right attitude. In verses number 42 and 43, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowshipping and breaking bread and prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. You know, they came prayed up and prepared for God to do something. Boy, you know, it might be good that every teenager, every child, every adult, every mom and daddy, you know what? You ought to come prayed up, preparing for God to do something in the service. You know what? You get out of church what you put into it. You know, it's no wonder why people go ahead there's no wonder why people go ahead and leave the church simply because they don't come prepared for church. And they'll go ahead, and these are the ones that'll go ahead and yap and say, well, I just don't get anything from church. You know what? If you come and you'd ask Holy Spirit, as I mentioned a moment, give me something. You know, there's a lot of spiritually dead Christians out there tonight simply because that are just barely hanging on, if you will, to the Christian life. No, they won't lose their salvation, but they're just barely hanging on, if you will, simply because they don't communicate with God. Say, God, you feed me. I need something. You know what? We need to create a right atmosphere. We need to have a right attitude. We need to come to church prepared, asking God to go ahead and do something in our lives. We need to have action in our church. In verses number 42 and 46, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't quit. They didn't stop. You know what continuing means? They're still moving. Okay, that's action. Okay, they continue. You know what? When the day of Pentecost was done, when Peter got done preaching, they just didn't all go home and close up shop and so forth. You know what? No, they started the church, man. And they, you know what? And when everybody left, you know what? The pastor of that church, the head of that church at that time, they continued steadfastly in what they heard. They formed a church. They were breaking the bread, and they were praying and so forth. You know, I think there's all kinds of prayer meetings going on at the early church. I think a lot of people are on their knees begging God, God, you go ahead and we want Pentecost to go ahead and continue. Holy Spirit of God, you fall down upon my preacher. Holy Spirit of God, you fall down upon the church. Holy Spirit of God, hey, they were praying. They were an active church. I worry when we don't move to the altar. You know what? Some of us, we won't submit to the Holy Spirit whenever there's preaching. You know, there's some here tonight, you haven't been to an altar in a long time. Now, I worry about that. I worry about your spiritual nourishment. I worry about when we don't go to the altar. You know, if God moves on your heart, instead of hanging on and so, you know, and so forth, why don't you just go ahead, go forward, lay it all out with God and say, God, whatever it is that you need, weed it out of my life. Whatever it is that's hindering me from being what you want me to be, hey, I'll lay it all out and you do what you will. You cut it away, God. You cut. No, we don't like the cutting of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? It's growth. It's growth. Boy, if God moves in your heart, you move and you do something about it. Some will go ahead and blame the fact, some will go ahead and blame it on the preacher, why they won't move. Well, the preacher knew. No, I did not know. You know, it's amazing. Oh, I've heard this. Well, somehow the preacher knew. He went ahead and preached on that because he knew that I was doing that. You think that the preacher, all we have time to do is take our little notepad and go around and snoop around and just write a whole list about you? You know, I got a whole lot of other fish to fry than that, my friend. I'll pray for you, obviously, and I don't forget about you, but I'm not going to go ahead and snoop into your home and... Oh! Prime preaching material right there! Oh. You ever think about the Holy Spirit? Whenever the preacher gets up and takes the Word of God and preaches it to his people, did you ever think about it's the Holy Spirit trying to move and maybe cut away a few things that ought not be there that's limiting your growth and limiting your potential? Hey, you know, we need to be active. We need to be in attendance. Attendance at church ought not be an option to us. It just shouldn't be. You know, Hebrews 10:25, you know, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves. Boy, we ought to be faithful in our attendance. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, boy, you ought to be in your place. You know, and I listen, you know, and I offer grace. I know when work comes. I understand that. If there is work and you're scheduled to work, don't do it, and I'll confess it, don't do as I did when I was a teenager who was a little bit rebellious at the time. I scheduled work on purpose. God help me for that. But, you know, just because we don't want to go to church, well, you know what, we ought to just be faithful in attendance to church. God says every time the doors are open, we ought to be there. We need more confession of sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what? We got to keep short accounts with God. You know, don't say to God, oh, I'll confess it later. You know what? When the Holy Spirit goes ahead and prompts you and pricks you about something maybe that you said or done, you immediately, right then, that's keeping short accounts with God. You immediately, right then, say, God, Lord Jesus, I am so sorry. That'll help keep your act cleaned up. You know, but the truth of the matter is what we do, we get so big, I'll confess it later. No. You confess it now. You confess it right then. Keep short account. You know, we need more confession. I'm talking about essentials that we need this year going forward and so forth. We need more confession of sin. We need to keep short accounts with God. We need to be familiar, have a familiar path with the altar. Boy, there ought to be footsteps with your footprints right there. You know, I'm the preacher and I still go to the altar. And you say, what? Why? Because you're bad? Yeah, because I'm a sinner robed in flesh, and I know I still sin, and I still need the altar just as much as any one of us. And the truth of the matter is, we need more confession of sin. We need to have a familiar path to the altar. We need to be honest with God about lingering known sin in our life and not just pacify it. Well, we need to get our hearts right. Stop hoarding that sin. Let me tell you something. That one sin, whatever it may be, you know what it is. And don't think I got my little notepad here all out there. No, whatever it is right now, the Holy Spirit's pricking you about, that's keeping you from being what God wants you to be. Why don't you, instead of hoarding it, say, no, this is mine. Stop negotiating with God. God, you can have this. You can have this. You have this. No, not this. If the Holy Spirit wants it, if God wants it, give it to him. Give it to him. Quit your hoarding it. And let me tell you something. That one sin, you may think it doesn't control you, but you know what? After a while, you play around with it after a while. You know, it's going to grow bigger and bigger. It's going to be like a cancer. It'll take you down. And then, where's so-and-so in the church? God, of course, knows this. Well, you know, they dabbled around with one sin. They thought they could go ahead and handle it. You know, listen, we need to have more confession of sin. Stop hoarding the sin that'll take you down. We need more commitment to service. These people here, and also in 42 and 46 of this chapter, as they continued in a good spirit to get the job done for God. You know, let me just go back on this spirit thing for a minute. You know, when you have a good spirit, like our church does, by the way, you know, I've had visitors come in and out of here, and I've had different people come in and out of here and say, boy, you know, you got a good spirit at the church there. And that's all because of God. But you know what? When you have a good spirit, you know, as I mentioned earlier, and I alluded to it back in the early part of this chapter, and we're in line with God, we're doing what God, you know what? Boy, let me tell you something. That we're making room for God, the Holy Spirit, to do some great things. When we have a good attitude, when we have a good spirit. Boy, we need to go ahead and when we have a good spirit and we get the job done and we get involved in service and committed to service, you know, there's so many things that we got planned this year. I've mentioned much of it. Talk about Carver Canvas, going around Carver, and we're working on getting that stuff. You know, you can be a part of that. Talking about more soul winning, more classes, Sunday school classes. Church projects and improvements. You know, what can you be a part of? Clean the church monthly. That's not much. You know, it's important that the church is clean. And by the way, it will get clean. You know, and you say that because nobody signed up for February? Yeah. I'm saying it because nobody signed up for February. But you know what? We need people to go ahead and say, you know, I can take a month of church cleaning. Choir opportunities. You know, if you can go ahead and make a joyful noise, get in the choir. You know, sing. You know, don't be afraid to show up maybe to a meeting because you're afraid a preacher might ask you to do something. You know, look at it as an opportunity. You know, I was always taught this. You know, if my preacher always asked me to do something, I always thought that he must think enough of me that I can get the job done. You know, I always thought, you know, and you say I'm his puppet or what, that's whatever. If that's the way, that's fine. You know, I always just decided if the preacher had a vision and he needed work and he asked me to go ahead and do something, you know what? I could do that. I would consider it and I'd go ahead and do it. You know, don't be afraid to when you're asked to do something, to do it. Don't just be afraid of it. You know, we need commitment. We need commitment in the pews. You know, be faithful. Be faithful in your place. You know, I said it this morning, and I'll mention it tonight, you know, again, but, you know, it's amazing how you have your spot, right? You have your spot. You know, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with your spot. Give this illustration. We had a lady who has her spot, came in. She came in a little bit too late, but came in, found that her spot was filled by a visitor, turned around, and it wasn't here, by the way, turned around and left. And I go, wow. I'm sorry. That to me is that where our Christianity is? You know? And I thought, wow. You know, and don't get me, we need people in the pews, but let me just say this, if some visitor has your spot, go find another one. You know, let me say this, it always happens in every Baptist church, Brother Robles. You know, you want a guaranteed spot almost every Sunday right up here. You want to go ahead and lock yourself into a spot? I mean, you know, hey, I want to keep my seat, and bless God, this is my seat. I guarantee you one way that you 99.9% be able to have your seat all the time is you just, front row is always available. Always available. Anyways. But boy, we need commitment in the pews, in the prayer closet. Boy, we need more prayer this year. We need more commitment in the ministry. You know, as I was just kind of going through and reflecting on this last year, God has big plans for us. Year number two, as far as I'm concerned. My year number two. God has big plans for us. I encourage you to be aware of things that need to be done. I would ask you, encourage you tonight, let's all pray and roll up our sleeves and just go get busy for the cause of Christ. You know, time's short. It is. I'm not obviously going to predict when Jesus is going to come, and it may be tonight, it may be 25, 30, 40, 50 years from now. But you know, let me ask you a question. If Jesus came tonight, would he find you busy? Would he find you active? If Jesus came tonight, would he find you in church? Or any given day, would he find you in church when the church doors are open? Would he find you serving in the ministry that you know that he's called you to be in, whether it be whatever? Maybe it's working the grounds. Maybe it's cleaning. Maybe it's a Sunday school. Whatever the case, but would he find you busy? Well, you know what? We just need to go ahead and roll up our sleeves and get busy because our time is short. Whatever it will be, whatever God can use you to do, you know, it'll bring him all the glory. After all, that's why we're here. The purpose of why we were created was not to glorify us, but to glorify God. That's why. You know, man, I was talking to some of the folks today,